Might I say that I've been greatly impressed this week again by the fact that we're living in strange and awful times. The cults are on the move. And I hope we all understand today that behind every cult there stands the evil one himself. That is the devil. They've come down even into Raleigh like a flock of pigeons. Now do you realize, my friend, that every cult that's moving around today is denying the Word of God? They may stand with a Bible in their hand or pretend it's a Bible, but they're denying the very truth, or the truths that are made known in the Word. And coming away from some of the cults, you'll find that some who take the name of Christian will not today be preaching from the Bible. They're denying some of the solid truths that are made known, and some of the solemn truths of this Word. For example, now, before I read to you from the Scriptures, let me remind you of this, that cult called the Jehovah's Witnesses deny eternal punishment. There is no such place as hell, according to their teaching. Remember also that these people, whom some folk think are Christians, the Seventh-day Adventists, deny eternal punishment. The so-called Christadelphians deny eternal punishment. Now we're being inundated with the Moonies. They go further than that. Mooney himself is greater than Jesus Christ. What blasphemy. He's come to fulfill what Christ failed to do. He's a prophet sent from God to complete the work that Christ began. Yet on the cross, Christ had it finished. We're living in the day of blasphemous teaching. In a day when people are denying what the Bible teaches. And they will not submit to the truth of God's Word. Now when the Apostle Paul went to Thessalonica and preached the Word, the people there received the Word not as the Word of men, but as the Word of God, as it truly was. Now either we believe the Bible or we don't. You can't take just a little bit from the Bible and reject all the rest. I'm going to read to you then some very solemn words from the book. If you have your Bible, you'll turn up those Scriptures with me. If you haven't your Bible and you can't look on with the person beside you, take a mental note of them and read them when you get home. Then between you and God, you decide whether you believe God's Word or not. The book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament, chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, the last verse of the chapter. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. May I read that again? And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's plain, isn't it? Turn over a few pages now to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. And I want you to bear in mind what I'm reading to you is the record of what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. You see, some of these people that I have already referred to, some of the modern cults, and some people who take the name Christian, they're talking in some kind of emotional way. They say, we just want the teachings of Jesus. Just give us the teachings of Jesus. They won't even acknowledge him as the Lord Jesus. They deny that he's the Lord. We just want the teachings of Jesus. Talk to us about love. All we need is love. And that's a lot of emotional, sentimental nonsense. What I've read to you from Matthew chapter 25 is the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Here again in Mark chapter 9 is what the Lord Jesus taught. Look at verse 43 of chapter 9. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter off into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not. Turn over to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He is Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of his own word. Let us bow for a moment in prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge that we've been reading from thy word, reading some of these solemn truths, solemn, searching, eternal issues. Oh God, we pray that these things may be so written on our hearts today that we'll remember them from now on. Grant, oh God, that every heart here today shall be attuned, that we may hear thy voice, that we may hear thy call. Grant that every one of us shall leave this place today, saying of the truth, I know I'm right with God. It was good to be here. Here is the these things for the Savior's name. Amen. If there is one subject in the Bible that I, along with many other preachers, would like to avoid, if possible, is what's before us today. But why should we avoid solemn issues? Now, you remember last week, I was setting before you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, some of the hindrances that are met with on earth. Earth with its hindrances. When we face these things, we've got to admit that there are many things in this life that hinder men and women from getting right with God. There's a lot of things that crush into one's life that hinder us from living the lives that are well-pleasing to God. And if we allow these things to overcome us, we shall waste our years. I wonder how often, when you get as old perhaps as I am, some of you may be older, if you're not, you look it, but still, you look back over life, and you say how many years have been wasted. Wasted years. If only I had my time back. How many of you already have said that? If only you had your time back. I've said it often. I've thought it often. If someone had just come to me when I was just entering into my 20s, they put their hand on my shoulder and began to talk to me, and they told me certain things, which they could have told me, but they didn't. If I had been told things then and warned about certain things or encouraged to do certain things, it might have made a tremendous difference in my life. Nobody did that. Perhaps we're feeling the same way. There are people today who need to be instructed, and they're not getting the instruction they need. And we look back and say, if only I could get my years back. But we can't. See, the years that are spent are like the sped arrow. Off they go, and you can't bring them back. Like water that is spilt upon the ground, you can't gather it up again. We can't get the past. We can remember it, as we'll see in a moment or two. We can't get it back. And we've no guarantee if we've any days in the future. All we've got is the present. Today. That's why the scriptures emphasize again and again, today. Today, today. But we have earth with its hindrances. And we saw how many things hinder people from accepting the invitation that was given to them. Until the final analysis was this, they all agreed on one thing, we are not coming. All right, says God, if you're not coming, my house will still be filled. If you're not there, somebody will be there. Earth with its hindrances. When you come to Luke chapter 15, it's a beautiful picture in a sense there, because it's heaven with all its happiness. Now that's a good theme to dwell on. The things that will be in heaven. The things that will create joy. Joy among the angels in the presence of God. Angels rejoicing. Redeemed ones rejoice. Oh, the joy, the happiness of heaven over sinners repenting, sinners being brought back to God. But oh, how solemn. When you move into Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, no longer are you looking into the open door to see all that's going on, creating the happiness in heaven. But in chapter 16, the veil is drawn aside, and you're given a look into hell with all its horrors. Now, if you want to rejoice in what's written in chapter 15, you can't take an eraser and rub out chapter 16. If you're going to accept God's word about heaven with all its happiness, you've got to recognize that the same Bible speaks about hell with its horror. A certain group of people today who are worshippers of the devil are quite happy about the fact, they say, that they're going to hell. They know it. And they're going to be with their king whom they call Lucifer. They forget he's no longer Lucifer. He's the devil. He's Satan. And they think they're going to have a wonderful time there. One of them told me so. He says, when we go to hell with the devil, he'll let us do what we like. He'll not restrict us. We'll do whatever we like to do. And he says, and that's what we're doing now. Exactly. And men and women who will not submit themselves to the rule of God now are submitting themselves to the rule of the evil one. And they're doing what they like now. Everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes. The unfortunate thing is this. They don't know or they've never realized the awful end towards which they're traveling. But I want to correct that a little for its error. The fact of the matter is, when they go to hell, they will not be able to do what they like. And the devil will not rule there. He'll be a prisoner there the same as them. After all, let me remind you, dear people here today, that it's not the devil's hell. A lot of folk think that it's God's heaven and the devil's hell, but that isn't true. That's only what they think. It's God's heaven and it's God's hell. You see, if a man commits a crime today and he's put in central prison doesn't belong to the prisoners that are there, although some of them think it does. They're there as prisoners. And they can't do what they like in there. They're held in bondage. And when people go to hell, remember they're there because they have sinned with a high hand against God and have created the greatest sin of all time, the sin of unbelief. It's God's hell. Prepared for the devil and his angels, and all who reject the offer of salvation. Now remember this. Hell is a place. It's not a myth. It's not something of man's imagination. It's not just a bad word on the preacher's lips. It's as much a place as this building is that we're in now. Hell is as much a place as North Carolina. Hell is just as much a place as this earth on which we live. Years ago, when people looked up at the moon, they wondered what it was. Kind of shining light. You sometimes saw it too, and sometimes you saw it a quarter or a half. And when I was a little boy and you read A Trip to the Moon, that was fiction. Nobody knew what the moon was like. But now men have been on the moon. And they discover the moon is an actual place. Just the same as this earth is a place. The moon is a place. Let me tell you, hell is an actual place. Not a myth. It's not just a word or something to try and frighten little children. It's a place. It's a place where the past is remembered. Listen to the words of this man. When he cries to Father Abraham, that reminds us of his relationship. You see, he was a man who was brought up in a privileged nation. He's a man who could say, I have Abraham for my father. I had a good upbringing. Brought up to keep the law. Member of a privileged nation, but now he's passed the boundary line. He's in a lost eternity. But he says, Father Abraham. Abraham says, Son, remember. The place where the past is remembered. Son, remember thou in thy lifetime. Remember working beside a man and sometimes, you know, when you're working night, the quietness of the night, people talk about things that they wouldn't talk about during the day. Strange thing, that. Remember one night, two of us working on the machine together. He looked at me. Oh, he was no Christian. He knew what I was, and many a time we discussed things. I remember asking him if he ever went to Sunday school. Little tears came in. Yeah, I thought he had. But during World War I, he was in the Navy. He said, you know, I'll never forget it one night, Willie, he said. During the night, and we got the warning, we were being followed by a German U-boat. Every man to his post. You got your light jacket on, every man to his post on the ship. Boy, he said, I was standing there, just wondering what was going to happen. Says, that torpedo just struck. Says, you know, son, Williamson, how did you feel, baby? Says, my whole life passed before me. I could hardly take that in. But I've discovered since then he was right. The mind is a tremendous thing. Son, remember. Remember thou in thy lifetime. There are certain things in life we want to forget. Perhaps it's things we've done. Perhaps it's things we've said. Perhaps it's places we've gone. Perhaps it's attitudes we've taken up. And oh, how we wish we could just obliterate these things from the past. And unfortunately, we can't. Son, remember thou in thy lifetime. God puts us within the bracket. Wonder what he thought of. In his lifetime, my, he had everything he could wish for to wear. Rich man. If he saw a robe of any kind, he could purchase. He dressed up in the very best. Dressed in purple, fine linen, the dress of the rich. Remember the way you were dressed? There was no one to compare with you, the finest dressed man in the town. Remember thou in thy lifetime, do you remember the feasts you used to make? Do you remember the food that was spoiled at your table? And out there was a poor beggar lying at your back door. Ah, you said, Roman. I don't take the crumbs that sweat from the table. You didn't invite him into your jargon. Remember thou in thy lifetime. You received the very best that was going. You had the best to wear and the best to eat. And there was a poor beggar with a few rags wrapped around him, lying out there at your back gate. Give him a few crumbs. You're asking for him now to come. You're begging from him. The rich man in life is a beggar in hell. The poor man who is just a beggar here on earth is there in all the joys and happiness. And you're asking for him to come just to dip his finger in cold water. Oh, the chase. Son, remember. Remember thou in thy lifetime. I wonder, remember the wasted years. Remember the time that someone spoke to you about the Savior. Oh, when I'm an old man. After I've enjoyed myself, and had my fill of all that the world can give, it's perhaps no thing that I might be the right of God. You know, a lot of people thought like that and never lived to be old. Didn't have the opportunity. Oh, when I'm old, yes. Remember the neglected invitations.
fellow stopped me one day. He said, I was listening to you preach on such and such a night. I said, I know you were. How do you know? I said, I saw you. He said, you saw me? I said, yeah. I saw you trying to hide too. I said, I saw you. He said, Arthur? No, it wasn't Arthur Schweitzkopf either. Arthur? When are you going to trust the Lord? He looked at me. He said, I should have got saved in 1921. He says, the time the revival was going on in the town, he lived in the town where my wife used to live. He said, they were getting saved then, and he says, I should have got saved then, and I didn't. He said, you're not too late yet, you're still in this life. You could get saved standing here on the street of this town today. He looked at me, he said, you know something? He said, I would give every penny I possess. Give every penny I possess. If I could be absolutely sure that I'll never be in hell. He said, Arthur, you don't need to give a penny. You don't need to give a penny. If you'll exercise faith in Christ right now, I said, you know the way of salvation. You've listened to it often enough. Standing here on this street, if you'll just accept Christ as your Savior, you can be absolutely sure that the flame and the torment your eyes will never see, and you'll enter into the joys of heaven, the presence of the Lord. So far as I know, Arthur never trusted the Lord. As far as I know, he may have. Nobody knows what happens between them in the coming of the end. As far as I know, if he died as he lived, it was neglected opportunities, neglected invitation. Remember thou in thy lifetime the pleasures you had that are gone now, wasted years. Remember the neglected and rejected invitations. Remember the unkept promises. How many people have made promises in life that they're going to get right with God? How many have promised, yes, if I'll just see past such and such a day, then, it's past, but never just a day. I know, Lauren. They've promised time and time again they're going to get this right with God. My friend, the time to get right with God is now. Not tomorrow. Not tonight. Now. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to stand to your feet. You don't need to make a great show. Right where you sit in your seat, while I'm preaching now, between your heart and your God, is it ever the Holy Spirit? Remember thou in thy lifetime. Prayer, a place where past is rejected. It's a place where prayers are rejected. You know, a lot of people that wouldn't bother praying when they're here in life will pray when they get to hell for the two reasons. You say, what a prayer meeting is? Yeah. People will pray in hell. They'll cry to God. He cried to God, first of all, for himself. Something he wanted. And Lazarus said he may dip the tip of his finger in cool water and cool my tongue. Too late! Great God. The blessings of heaven cannot be taken to the lost. Man praying for himself. I wonder, what will be some of the things that people will pray for? What will be some of the arguments they'll bring up? Lord, don't you remember me? Lord, you preached in our street. Don't you remember, Lord, the seat I used to sit in when I went to chapel? Lord, you remember how many pins I got for attending Sunday school? Lord, you remember I bought a good Bible for myself? Lord, I never said an angry word. I never did anybody any harm, Lord. Why do you keep me here? Oh, no prayers. No good. Prayers from hell will not be answered. Too late. Is the place to pray? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here. In hell, too late. There's a great gulf. No crossing over. But after praying for himself and discovering it was no good, he began to make his petitions on behalf of his brethren. Have you ever thought it, my friend? Here we are on earth. We pray for one another, I hope. I hope you do. I hope you haven't narrowed your prayers down and you only pray for yourself. Become a very short prayer, I would say. I hope you find time to pray for others. The Bible says so, pray you one for another. It's all right praying for people here. It's no good praying for people who are there. And it's no good them praying when they get there. Too late. And he's praying there for people here. I doubt if he ever prayed for himself when he was here on earth, and yet he would say prayers. If he was a Pharisee. Or he would recite his religious prayers. But praying and reciting prayers are two entirely different things. But now, if he never prayed for his family while he was here on earth, he's praying for them in hell. Too late. Have you ever thought of it? People that have lost eternity, praying for their relatives back here on earth. Oh, Lord, if you can't send Lazarus to me, will you send them back to my brothers? Send them to them, Lord, and warn them. Warn them lest they also come to this place of torment. It's no good. He says, don't you realize they've got Moses and the prophets? Plain words in modern language, they've got the Bible. If they're not going to believe what's in the Bible, they wouldn't believe Lazarus if he went back. Strange thing. If you take the Gospel according to John, 21 chapters, isn't it? At the end of chapter 20, we're told this, that these things were all written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's why it was written. With that in mind, you go back to the beginning of the Gospel and you begin to see this, that the writer sets before us a whole string of incidents. Each one proving that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You come to the seventh one. And the seventh one is the greatest of all. And that is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. That was the one who was the brother of Mary and Martha. You find that in John chapter 11. He is a man who actually is raised again out from the grave. What did they do? Because of this, they sought to kill the Lord Jesus, and also they sought to kill Lazarus. They ought to believe, shouldn't they? According to this man's reasoning. Send them back again to convince them. He says, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe though one rose again from the dead. If the man himself had come back, if he had come back and spoke to his brothers, they wouldn't have believed him. If a person will not believe what is written in that book, if they'll not believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, these went away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into life. Two gates, two ways, two paths for all, and all therein must go. Each soul on earth is making choice for life or endless woe. Hell, my friend, is just as much a place as heaven is. There are people leave this scene and go to heaven, but it's far better. You know that? There's a hymn was written a number of years ago, and I haven't heard it for a long time, but it was a very touching thing. And its chorus says, sometimes I feel homesick for heaven. The glories of air shall behold. Do you ever get homesick for heaven? That's those that know they're going to heaven, they get hope that heaven is their home. They're going home. Pastor was telling you that I'm going home. No, I'm going away from home. I've got three homes. I've got the home where I was born and brought up. I've got the home where I live here. But some of these days I'm going to leave these things behind and I'm going home up there. That'll be home. Going home. Are you going home? Will heaven be your home? I'm not a stranger here. Heaven is my home. And then you see, here is a man, he petitioned for himself, but it's too late. He petitioned for his brethren to no avail. Then he reasoned according to sentiment. You see, he said, but if you send them, they'll believe him. No good. The whole thing comes down to the final analysis. We've got the Word of God. We'll either believe what is written in the Word, or we won't. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on his whole house followeth. So that hell is a place. It's a place where the past is remembered. Gnawing conscience, like a worm that dies not. Place where prayers are rejected. Worse than that, the place where punishment is received. We're living in strange days, even so far as the law is concerned. Men can break the law that day, and then they have what they call a kind of bargaining process. Now, I must admit frankly to you all, I don't understand that. I don't know what it means, to be honest with you. Bargaining process. How can you bargain if you break the law? Whoever introduced the idea of bargaining? When it comes to the law of God, there's no bargaining there. You may bargain with the judge. You may even buy your way out of trouble. You can't bargain with God. Black is black and white is white. No gray. You see, my friend, hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And all whose names are not found written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell cast into the lake of fire, which is the eternal state. Punishment for the unbeliever. Remember, the greatest sin of this age is the sin of unbelief. You say, well, I thought Monday was the greatest sin. No. Unbelief is the greatest of all sins. You see, you may not commit murder. And you may not commit adultery. And you may not steal. You may not bear false witness. You may fancy all these have I kept from my youth up. But if you believe not in Jesus Christ the Savior, you're an unbeliever. And all who believe not in him, the wrath of God abideth. You see how solemn these issues are. It's just about time. We're getting back to the book. And remember this, that God will not excuse us for our sins. And God will not excuse us as being sinners. The great root is in us, the root of sin. The sins that I've committed are the fruit come out of that sinful nature. God has only provided one cure for us. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not is condemned. Friends, God is not going to wink at sin. God is not going to pass it over. There's no bargaining with God. we either bow now and accept the offer of salvation, or we'll bow then, but it's too late. And what are they going to do with you? If they're not left behind, will you get right? Do you ever read that little verse? I'm sure you have. To lose your wealth is much. You may not have very much, but suppose you were to lose all you've got. To lose your wealth is much. But to lose your health is more. People would give all that they've got if they could buy good health. To lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is much. To lose your soul. To lose your soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. Our Father, we would give Thee thanks today for everyone sitting under this roof now who can look back to the time when they committed the welfare of their soul to Thee, when they settled the great eternal issue that they would receive Christ, spend eternity in the glory. But we would ask Thee now, O God, if there be those who have listened to this message who have never yet made that great decision, that this may be the day when the Holy Spirit shall deal with them, that they'll be brought face to face with these solemn things, and today they'll put matters right between the soul and the bless us now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing two verses of a hymn in closing. It's number 253. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I trod, Lord, and coming home. Verse 2 says, I've wasted many precious years, now I'm coming home. And I'll repent with bitter tears, Lord, I'm coming home. We'll sing verse 2 and then verse 4. My soul is sick, my heart is sore, now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore, Lord, I'm coming home. Verses 2 and 4 of number 253, after which the service is entirely over.
I've waited.